You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Now, he posed as a conservative truth teller, but in reality, a discredited ex-farmer feeding conspiracy theories to millions of people, among them Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Now, this has been investigated in some detail by Kyle Cowan, investigative journalist at Media 24. He joins me at the top of the program to examine the story of the so-called ex-boer behind the digital disinformation machine. Kyle, what exactly is this ex-boer? Who is he? And how did he gain such digital traction? And thanks for talking to us.
No, thank you for having me, Jeremy. Yeah, so Sebastian Huister is a 46-year-old man. He's currently running a guest house in Gordons Bay. And what we found is that his account has been active since 2017. He gained quite a lot of traction posting about farm attacks and concerns around farmer safety, particularly white farmers. And around that time, you'll remember, Jeremy, there was a tour by AfriForum to the United States. Donald Trump was in his first term as U.S. president at that time, and he made some comments online that sparked quite a lot of outrage among South Africans. And you know, there was a hot debate around that time again. And over time, Sebastian Huister has used this anonymous account and grown it by effectively targeting certain echo chambers on Twitter. Namely, one around Elon Musk. Also, as people linked to the MAGA universe, the Make America Great Again universe online, the American right. And over time, the account has grown significantly through these interactions. Elon Musk, subscribing to the account in December and starting to engage with him in about June 2024, obviously accelerated that process and exposed his posts to far more people.
And Kyle, in your opinion, how dangerous is the reach of this kind of misinformation?
It's extremely dangerous. You know, I think that there are tangible effects that we can attribute to the spread of such misinformation, not only through Mr. Huister and Twitter boss, but in general, if we look at the attitude that Donald Trump has adopted towards South Africa, claiming that, oh, you know, very bad things are happening and the government is arbitrarily expropriating land without compensation and so on. Now, we know on the ground here that these things are not happening. There is a very important debate to be had around these things that Donald Trump is not helping. And when the most powerful person in the world, i.e. the president of the United States, start signing executive orders and making statements like these, it perpetuates this. It cements it as a truth in the eyes of millions, if not billions of people around the world. And the negative effect of that is we will have real economic problems linked to this. There will be, you know, a hardening of hearts in the Republican Party, especially around AGOA, which we were already in danger of losing due to other geopolitical positions.
I've got two questions. I wonder why red flags weren't raised earlier, and what responsibility, in your opinion, do social media platforms bear for spreading the kind of narrative that you've outlined?
You know, so Elon Musk has repeatedly spoken about being a free speech absolutist. He believes that X was too dictatorial in its censorship. He believed that, you know, the platform should be allowed to be a proving ground or a public soapbox for anyone to say whatever they felt like and be protected and not be, you know, sort of remonstrated for. And I think that this is an extremely dangerous situation. Social media, and there have been many studies on this, social media and the internet, I think, is largely responsible for a series of, you know, sort of massive misinformation campaigns that have really damaged people's lives, damaged their livelihoods, and also put people in danger. At the same time, social media is an extremely valuable tool for whistleblowers that has been abused and tortured into this thing that has become, I think, very dangerous. We've all experienced it in our personal lives where a family member or a friend has gone down a rabbit hole on YouTube or on you know, Reddit forums or on Twitter, on Facebook, and they are fed misinformation on an almost daily basis. And for some people, it is extremely difficult to differentiate between truth and lies online. This is an extremely dangerous situation for society at large.
Let's bring it back to South Africa. Is this a one-off, or do you think that there is the chance of a trend of weaponized identity politics, particularly Afrikaans identity politics, coming to the fore online?
Yes, I think so. I think the online social media verse has been very useful for the, you know, a sect of the Afrikaner people who sort of focus on a real issue, i.e. farm murders, and turn that around into, i.e. an influence position or a money-making position, selling fear, selling controversy. And we've seen this in America. We've seen how, you know, these right-wing accounts have gained massive momentum online. And, you know, sort of democratically linked or left-linked podcasts or video blogs are just not gaining the same kind of traction. I think that what this is doing is it is exposing inherent biases and prejudices in people in South Africa that we all know about, but often less talk about. And unfortunately, what is being done here by people like Julius Malema, continuing to sing that song, continuing to stir up controversy, which is his gimmick, that is his thing. By stirring up controversy, he enjoys that. He gets attention, he gets news headlines, he gets all of these things. And at the same time, it's also touching on something that is actually a very sensitive debate. We are dealing with something there where generational trauma exists around the land issue that has really not been addressed properly by any sort of government that has been in power since 1994. And I think that that absence of a real solution, of a properly implemented solution, has allowed this space to become so toxic.
And Carl, just a quick one in conclusion. As a result of this latest investigation, has there been any legal accountability or local investigation in South Africa from the authorities?
Not yet. As far as I'm aware, that there was quite a lot of talk about treason charges against some of AfriForum's leaders around, you know, their lobbying in the U.S. and so on. I think that those charges are still borne. In all likelihood, there's no law that prevents them from having an opinion. But in terms of our Twitter boss investigation, at this point, there has been no reaction from, for example, the Human Rights Commission or anything else. We are, in fact, now waiting for Mr. Uster's lawyers to be in contact with us, as they threaten to be.
It is an excellent piece of investigative journalism. Kyle Kaun from Media 24, thank you very much indeed.